Hi, good morning. This morning our message comes from Psalm 33, verses 12 through 22. And at this point I would ask you to rise if you are able as we read God's word together. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven, he sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions the heart of them all and observes their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on him, is on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you today, as we come to worship today, we ask that you are with us. Father, your word tells us that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are there. Father, we are more than two or three, and we just ask that you bring your presence with you today. Lord, may the words that come from me be your words. Father, guide my tongue. Father, hide me behind the cross so that we may see your Son, that we may see Jesus. Father, if necessary, use the Holy Spirit to push me completely out of the way so that we see your message today, that we hear your words, and help us to write them upon our heart, to take them from here and share them with those who need to hear them, Lord. And we say all this in the name of our Son, or our Redeemer, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The world is falling apart. You know, all these headlines that I read every day, they scare me. And they anger me and they upset me. You know, and I know I'm not the only one. The evidence for this really kind of hit home for me when a friend of mine who lives in Australia, she wrote to me recently. And this is what she asked. She begins with, "I was wondering if I could ask you a sensitive question. I'm not sure how to approach it, but the news we receive down here in Oz," she means Australia, "is of your country completely falling apart in every way possible. Your president comes across as a complete cartoon character, and with all the COVID deaths, it seems like he's just not right in the head. Sorry, it's the way he's perceived in our media. Now, with all the race riots all over the country, well, I guess I'd like to know what it's like from an American's perspective. Are our news reporters biased and anti-Trump? Is the race divide so unbelievably large over there? I hope it doesn't offend you, me asking these questions." Now, there were two things that struck me as I was reading that. The first was, you know, what she wrote is this. She felt like she had to apologize for asking the question. She was worried about offending me. And second was that to the rest of the world, it must look like we're falling apart as well. So is that what is really happening? Is the U.S. falling apart? Is the world falling apart? And if so, what do we do about it? Our passage today begins with the words, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And as I look at our nation, I wonder, is this true? And what I mean by this is, are we a nation whose God is the Lord? I mean, we see our motto on our coins and on our buildings, you know, "In God we trust." But do we mean that anymore? In verse 11 of this same psalm, it says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations." But are we listening? Are we opening our ears to hear what the Lord has to say, or are we listening to the world? I mean, any one of us can look on Facebook and see what the focus of the world is right now. Right now, it's the tragedy of the moment. And we see this evidence for it everywhere. You turn on CNN or MSNBC or even Fox, and you will see action nonstop. Headlines galore about how awful things are going. Headlines like, Trump calls protesters terrorists. COVID-19 rising faster than ever. If you want anarchy, defund the police. Or this one, Americans are realizing that they don't have liberty and justice for all. Now the focus of this world is on the chaos. The world's attention is bent on its tragedy, on its hopelessness. And now, don't get me wrong, we see those sweet, lovely little posts about love and family, and but you run your cursor down your news feed and 90% of the focus is on the bickering, the fighting, the arguing, the protesting. It's all about how this world is falling apart, about how this disease is killing us and we'd better stay home, or about how our government is breaking the Constitution and we should protest. Well, and speaking of protests, what about those protesters? They're turning into looting and rioting. To read all this, it's enough to drive you mad. And yet, how many of us are listening? How many of us are tuning in, inclining our ears so that we can hear better? You know, the Bible speaks into what we're seeing in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, it says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears that will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. And we do, don't we? I mean, our modern day myths are the buzz of the social media. The tune of the commentator. And sadly, I have to admit, I'm a sucker for it. I must flip to Facebook or some form of social media, or any media for that matter, probably 10 times a day. And what am I doing? I'm trying to scratch an itch that I shouldn't be. I'm searching for others who share my viewpoint, who can't wait to satiate their itching ears. You know, I'm reading posts that I disagree with and silently, or, well, I'll ask my wife, not so silently fuming because I want to speak truth into that post. All of this I find myself doing, and I tell myself that what I'm trying to do is discern the truth from the cacophony. But I know what I'm really doing, and that's looking for an excuse. Or as a friend of mine said, looking for the things that anger me because I just want to feel right. I want to speak against it. That's a sad state of affairs, isn't it? To just keep churning up those waters of discontent, churning the waters of my anger and my hurt, my frustration. And the sad part is I end up asking myself, does any of this really even help? And how does this fix things? How does this help anyone fix anything? We know the answer. It doesn't fix things. It makes them worse. And as we watch all these protesters and we listen to all these politicians, we see that they all have a voice. And it seems like they all have some sort of plan. And we have to wonder, will any of their plans work? Should we place our trust in these plans? Some of these plans, they actually look like they might work. Some of them seem really good to us, and we praise certain politicians or certain policies that we believe are better for us. Because, well, you know, they've got it right. They've got a good plan. We can vote for this guy, and if we do, maybe he can fix it. Or we think maybe if we make our voice loud enough, if we shout hard enough into the world, the leaders will have to listen. And then they'll fix it the way we want. Because we know, we do, we know the right thing, don't we? We know what will save us. And if we push hard enough, we'll all be saved. That's the ticket. That's exactly what we need, a plan of action and the right leader with the right tools, and all of this mess can be fixed. And we'll be saved from all this chaos, won't we? There's a problem with this thinking. There's a major failing in believing that we know how to save ourselves. Because believe it or not, we got ourselves into this mess. Our passage today reminds us of this. In verses 16 and 17, the psalmist says, "The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue." No matter what great leader that we put in place, no matter how great our army or our Air Force, Marines, Navy, any of our armed forces are, or even how great their tools are, it's a false hope for salvation. It's folly for us to believe that by our own strength and might, we will save ourselves. Because we know when we try to save things, when we try to fix things, we're going to fail. I'm reminded of what Paul said in Romans 7, verses 15 through 19. It says, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." We are sinners who, even when we try to do the right thing, will do the wrong thing. We will sin and we will fail. And I know we want to fix things. We want to make things better. But how? How can we, sinful, broken people who will only destroy ourselves and others, how can we ever hope to save anything? Oh, love Scripture. Because the answer is found in our passage today in verses 18 and 19. It says, "But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine." His eyes are on us to deliver us. When we look at the world and we find ourselves confused and lost, where should we turn? To him. Because his eyes are already on us. He's already looking out for us. The one thing that I have heard repeated over and over again through all these crises, the COVID-19 and the rioting and the looting and all this fighting, the one thing that I keep hearing people saying, particularly people who are here, is that God is in control. There is nothing or no one who can save themselves. No device we make or amount of power we think we have on earth here on earth will deliver us. We will not be saved through any strength that we think we have, but only in the strength that we find in our Lord. No matter what we think, we can find rest and know that we can trust that Jesus has this all under control. Isaiah 58, verses 7 and 9 gives me a lot of comfort, for it says this to us: "Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts, your thoughts." to know that my Lord already has all this planned out, has this all mapped out, and that his thoughts are already above my thoughts and are on me. That gives me a lot of comfort. When my friend from Australia wrote to me, and my first two thoughts, you know, that she was afraid to ask me a question and then that to her our world was falling apart, I realized what the answer to both questions was. And that's Jesus. I say this because I don't ever want my friends to feel like they should be afraid to approach me about a question, because I know that I can trust upon the Lord for the answer. And I know that the world may look like it's falling apart, but I know that God is in control. Our passage shows us this as well. For we read, "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you." Our answers are found in what Jesus has done for us. All of these arguments, all of these fights, all of our foolish actions, they've already been dealt with on the cross. They've been dealt with through the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. They've been dealt with through his great love for us. Would you pray with me? Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you that even though the world looks like it's falling apart, you are our rock and our Savior. Lord, thank you for sending your Son to live the life that we couldn't live, to die the death we deserved. Lord, for him to conquer death so that we could be together with you. Thank you, Lord, that your promises are real and that we know we can trust in them. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. We say all this in his name. Amen. At this time, I'd like to call the worship team up for our song of response.